new tie. Y'all ready for your new thing? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. Sorry. I just felt like the presence of God was really, just really thick in this room right now. Amen. And I feel like God's just going to do something really mighty in the spirit realm. And I hope that you're ready to receive it today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It is good to be in the house of God. Amen. And how many of y'all today are hungry for a word from the Lord? If that's you, let me hear you say, yeah. Yeah. If you want to hear a word from the Lord today, let me hear you say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Sounds like y'all are ready. Well, if you want the word, you got to open up the word. I want you to open up back to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. I want you to keep your finger there. We're going to be looking to that word. You know, today is it's a new Sunday. All right. In fact, it's a new year. And hallelujah, I got a new message. And I'm here to tell you today that God is doing a new thing. Amen. It says in the word of God right here, see, I am doing a new thing. Right now, I'm gonna pause. Time out. I'm gonna just pray. All right, let's just continue to invite the Holy Spirit to flow and minister in this place. Hallelujah, Lord. We just pray. We seek your face right now, Lord. We just thank you for your presence. We pray that God, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would just continue to fill this room, oh God, Lord, like smoke would just fill this room, oh God. And I pray that, Lord, you will flow through this place like a mighty rushing river and wind would just hit us. And just speak to us, convict us to the deepest parts of our hearts and our minds, oh God, Lord. And just put into our spirit the word that you have for us today. And I pray that it will bring forth a fruit, oh God, Lord, a fruitfulness, a harvest that is hundredfold of what was sown. And I bind right now the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of doubt. I bind and take authority over the spirit of religion. And I come against the spirits. I thank you that it says in your word that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We thank you, O God. We go forth in victory. We thank you, Lord. We loosen, O God, Lord, your freedom, your joy in this place. And just fill our hearts with faith as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And as we read in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it's biblical. Amen? It's biblical, baby. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Tell him that. Tell him, it's biblical, baby. I want you to take a prophetic finger, point it at your neighbor and say, God is doing a new thing. You know, it says in the word of God today, it says, I am doing a new thing. And I want to talk about two areas today in which God is doing a new thing. All right. One is the church. And two is you. All right. And we're going to begin. Let's start by talking about you. All right. Let's talk about you first. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the word of God says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's talking about you. As a follower of Christ, the word of God says, you are a new creation. Somebody say, I am a new creation. Come on. I am a new creation. And when you are born again, God gives you a new life, new perspective, new desires, new priorities. Hallelujah. He makes you a new creation. And one of the things that God loves to give us is a new beginning. And you know, when you get born again, you don't just get one new beginning. You get as many new beginnings as you need. Hallelujah. You know, think about it. You know, every 2 months, God gives us a new year. Every 7 days, he gives us a new week. Every 24 hours, we get a new day. If you look around, God has designed the world to reflect how much he loves to give us a new beginning. You messed up your last year? Well, you got a new year. You can start fresh. Your month, well, a month ago, things were just going horrible. Well, it's a new month. All right, get the joy up inside you because God's going to do a new thing. You know, God never says, my child, you made one too many mistakes. Didn't I warn you about all this? I'm sorry, but all your new beginnings are gone. You're on your own now. I mean, God never says that. Now, God loves to give us a new beginning. Remember the prodigal, the story of the prodigal son? This guy, he squanders his wealth and his inheritance in wild living. And once he's famished and disgraced, he decides to return to the father. And if you remember the parable, as he approaches the house, you know what he's doing? He's busy rehearsing a speech. It's like a repentance speech to his father, an apology to his father. And he wants to get the words right because he's not sure if the father's going to even take him back in. So here he is rehearsing this speech. And the amazing thing about this parable is, what did the father do when he saw the son? I mean, he didn't go up to him and say, all right, son, I see that you come back. What do you have to say for yourself? No, the father doesn't do that. All right. I mean, the son's like rehearsing. He looks up. He sees the father running to him. And he's like, okay, I got to get this speech right. All right. Father, boom. And the father just hugs him and kisses him, puts a ring on his finger, and restores him as a son. You know, and that's a great picture of the Heavenly Father that Jesus is giving us. Now, God is a God who loves to give us new beginnings. And when we think we need to get occupied with the right words to say, the prayer has to be right, the right words. And even if you come into Christ for the first time, you think a sinner's prayer has to be a certain way, you know. In Campus Crusade, we got the four spiritual laws, and we try to memorize the sinner's prayer. And sometimes we get caught up in that sinner's prayer. We get a little bit legalistic and think that it has to be word for word. But you know what? Sometimes God doesn't even need a long prayer from you. All he needs is for you to run up to the altar and give your life to him. Because it's faith that saves you, right? You know, maybe in life you made a lot of mistakes. You've hurt people, or people have hurt you, and you just can't let it go. Or you've done things that make you feel a lot of shame. And you're not proud of the current lifestyle you're living. And if that's you, I just want to declare to you, over you right now, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing, and hallelujah, he loves to give people a new beginning. And if you would just come to Jesus, he'll forgive your sins. Not only that, the good news of the word of God says he not only forgives your sins, he forgets them. Why does God forget our sins? Why? Because he gives us new beginnings. The truth is, we all mess up. I mess up. We mess up, and we mess up a lot. And all of us, we need new beginnings. You know, when I mess up in my relationships and I get critical, all right, I get snappy, afterwards I get real down and discouraged. And I pray something like this. I'd say, Lord, I was really mean to my sister today. I came over to help her move, but she was all disorganized and she was all over the place, and I just lost it. Father, forgive me. I want to be a better brother. I know I messed up a lot, but Lord, I still want to be a better brother. I know that your grace, you can enable me to do that. And God, I thank you that tomorrow is a new day. I thank you that you give me a new beginning. And that discouragement just lifts right off. And I'm able to have hope to be the better brother that God's calling me to be. You know, having received so many new beginnings from the Lord, you know, when somebody wrongs me or says something to me that offends me, you know, in the natural, I want to react, you know, and I might feel a little bit of you know, frustration or anger, you know. But because I know, when I'm reminded of how many new beginnings that I received from the Lord, I find myself freely extending a new beginning to somebody else. Like, it's no matter what they say, I found that when I extend a new beginning to others, I'm able to live free myself. See, it's not even so much about that relationship. It's about in my own life, I'm able to live free, free from resentment, free from anger, and I'm able to have more meaningful, richer relationships. But it all starts, you got to receive a new beginning first from the Lord. And once you are experiencing that, and once you're gracious to yourself as God is gracious to you, you're able to extend that to others. And your relationships, they're no longer broken. They're full of love and forgiveness, the way that God has created and designed his church to be. He has designed for us to be in love relationships. You know, I'm thankful for new beginnings because it gives me hope to break old negative patterns. You know, our Christian life is a lot like, you know, I was thinking about this, it's a lot like Super Mario Brothers. All right? How many of y'all feel me? Y'all know Super Mario Brothers? Somebody? Yeah. You know, when I play that game, you know, no matter how many times you fail to beat a particular stage, Mario and Luigi never look and tell you, that's enough. Why don't you just give up? All right? I'll never do that. Now, as long as you pick up that controller and try again, you know you get a new beginning. And if we can be patient with a video game, brothers and sisters, we need to learn to be gracious with ourselves. When you mess up, don't fall for the devil's lies and tell yourself it's hopeless. No, you got to believe that God's going to do a new thing. See, no farmer plants an apple tree, and once it grows up, the farmer doesn't cut down the apple tree after 1 week because the fruit isn't coming forth. No, the farmer knows it takes time for fruit to grow, right? In the same way, the Bible describes character traits. In the Bible, it describes character traits, just as Pastor Sam has been preaching. Character traits are described as fruit of the Spirit. We know anything about fruit. It takes time to grow. And we need to be patient with ourselves. Live life like you would play the Super Mario Brothers. Give yourself new beginnings. You know, as a follower of Christ, the Bible says, as we read here, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. That means God not only gives you a new life and a new beginning, but God also gives you everything you need to become a new creation. That means he gives you new desires in your hearts. He gives you spiritual gifts. He gives you faith, blessings, new promises that you did not know before. He gives you everything you need to be a new creation. But you know, a lot of us have a tendency in our Christian walk not to go with the new. But we tend to go back with the old. Old ways of thinking. Old patterns of behavior. Old memories and old addictions. But truth be told, these old things are keeping us from experiencing the new things that God is doing in our lives. You know, if you are constantly dwelling on your problems or thinking about your past or thinking, what if, then you know what? You're going to stay right where you are. But if you choose to forgive people and you release the past, then you can focus on the new things, you see. Because God is doing a new thing in your life. And he has redeemed you so you can be a new creation. And God doesn't want you to live in the past. He wants you to meditate on his goodness and know and believe that your best days and your most blessed days, that they're ahead of you. You know, God is wonderfully creative, and no matter what you've been through, no matter how much you've messed up, He has designed a future for you that is full of new and exciting plans. You know, when the prayer team, we do deliverance ministry, deliverance and inner healing ministry, we sometimes come across cases where people are unable to live a life of faith and victory because of negative words that somebody said in the past. And it could have been a parent or a teacher or a friend.
They might have said something like, you'll never amount to anything. You're good for nothing. You're a loser. You're so dumb. Those words may have been carelessly spoken years ago, but because the person keeps replaying those old voices over and over in their heads, it's keeping them from experiencing healthy relationships with God and with others. They're either depressed because of the things that were said, or they're driven to prove people wrong. But both is unhealthy. Or in other cases, we see people that are under bondage because of a secret sin pattern that they never properly dealt with. Thus, demonic voices are constantly accusing them, saying, how can you come to church? You hypocrite. You're so dirty. You're such a failure. How can you even call yourself a Christian? And these accusing voices make them feel like they're always going to struggle with this sin and that God will never use them. I'm not sure what old voices you've been listening to, but let me declare to you the word of God. Isaiah 43:18-19. You know what it says right there? It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Why don't you obey the word of God and forget the former things? Turn off, refuse to listen to those old negative voices. If you need to forgive someone, then make a choice to let that go and forgive that person. If you need to receive forgiveness, then make a visit to the cross and properly repent and renounce that sin. Then it's real simple. Just forget about it. You know, a lot of Italians in New York, that's what they love to say, that. Forget about it. Forget about it. Well, we need to do the same thing. Once you properly, biblically dealt with your sin or some hurt that you've experienced, then it's just time to forget about it. Because the word of God says, do not dwell on the past. If God remembers your sin no more, why would you? Whatever you do, don't dwell on the past. You are a new creation. Don't let the old hold you back from the new thing that God is doing in your life. Amen? Don't let your past direct your future. Let God's promise direct your future. Hallelujah. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, the new has come. The new has come. And if you let that get down in your spirit, it gets me all excited. The new has come. You know? Tell your neighbor that. Tell your neighbor. Turn to them and say, the new has come. Brothers and sisters, it's a new year. And you know what? It's time to be the new you. Amen? Yeah. You know, I want you to declare 2008, let this be the year that you break your old habits and addictions. Let this be the year that you step into a life of abundance and victory. You know, perhaps you've tried before and it didn't work. You know, you're still the same you with the same old problems. Christian, I've tried before. I haven't changed. I've done it, been there, done that, read the books. I've taken the step. I ain't changing. But I got one thing to say to you. It's a new day. Try again. Because God is doing a new thing. Amen? Try again. It's a new day. I don't care if you try 47 times to break that habit. Well, don't stop now, because you're destined to live in victory. That is yours. That is the inheritance. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You're destined to live in victory. You know, some people have a hard time putting away their old way of life. They unwittingly believe that their old ways of life are better than the new life in Christ. But the devil is a liar. You know why? Because Hennessy got nothing on the Holy Ghost. Amen? I don't think everybody got that. All right. Hennessy is a liquor. All right. Tupac raps about it in some of his songs. Anyway, Hennessy ain't got nothing on the Holy Ghost. All right, how about this? Soju ain't got nothing on the sun. All right, I don't know. Try to make it relevant. Well, you know what? When you get filled with alcohol, you may find yourself vomiting dinner out of your belly. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, John 7 says, streams of living water will come out from your belly. I don't know about you. I don't want dinner coming out my belly. I would rather have streams of living water coming forth. You know, there are some people in life, you know, there's some people that make you feel, you know, there are some people you meet, you talk, we spend time with, and they make you feel alive. You know, they just make you feel good. You know? Then there are people that just, they just suck all the life out of you. You're probably thinking about that person right now. Or maybe it's you. All right, hallelujah. I was reading a book in which the author pointed out that in life there are takers and then there's givers. There's takers and there's givers. But Jesus said, if you believe in him, from your belly will flow streams of living water. You know what that means? That means from your belly will overflow life. Life. God wants you to be a giver, not a taker. He wants you to give and have enough to give even to more people. He wants you to have and have in abundance. Now, I was listening to a message last night. Yeah, Joel Stockstill is a favorite preacher of mine. You know, he's really from the South. He's real gangster, and he tells it like it is, and I like that. You know, and he was saying the reason why a lot of Christians don't evangelize is because they don't even have enough faith for themselves. See, they can't get out there and share their faith because they don't have enough faith. But see, God has destined us to live a life where you are abundant with faith, where you got more than enough to give. When Jesus fed the 5,000, what happened? He fed 5,000 and then he still had more to give. That's the kind of life he wants you to live, an abundant life. Streams of living water will flow from your belly. I want you, why don't you choose this day, brothers and sisters, to be a giver? Let the life of God overflow from you. That may involve putting away your old ways of life, old ways of pleasure, so that the Holy Spirit can fill you up. But be sure of this, you can't expect God to do a new thing when you refuse to let go of the old. Let me say that again. You can't expect God to do a new thing when you refuse to let go of the old. You see, if the Holy Spirit was simply a force or some power, then you could probably dabble with the world and still be filled with the Spirit. But no, 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 no. The Word of God tells us the Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible tells us that friendship with the world is hatred toward God. It says, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? If you want the life of God to flow through you, you got to get rid of the old and get with the new. Because the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is a person. And you need to have a relationship with a person. You can't live a double life and expect that person to empower you and fill you. You know, no matter where you're at or what you're going through today, I encourage you, embrace the new thing. Embrace the new things that God is doing in your life. God is preparing for you. Make the choice today to leave the old behind. Leave behind old behavior, old thinking, and old words. And embrace the new by faith. And you'll move forward to the abundant life that God has prepared for you. Leave the old behind and get with the new. If you receive that, let me hear you say amen. 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 You know, the second area in which God is doing new things is in the church. Hallelujah. You know, did you know that Jesus is in the alcohol business? Did you know that? Now, I personally never liked alcohol, but some of y'all out there, you know, whenever the Lord turned your life around or whenever you backslid, whatever, you enjoy that alcohol. Some of you like alcohol, all right? So you're kind of like torn. You're like, yeah, this is so good, but why is it so bad? And, you know, I'm not. But do you know that Jesus is in the alcohol business? That's right. He has been known to serve open bar free of charge at wedding banquet. You know, and just like a fine wine company doesn't just sell their old collection of wine, but they also prepare new wine to age. Jesus is about to pour out some new wine so that the church can experience a new thing. Amen? I want you to pretend you're ordering a drink. Tell your neighbor, pour me some of that new wine. Come on. Pour me some of that new wine. I want it. You know, you see, the thing about wine is it takes time to age the wine. And in the same way, the new outpouring of God's Spirit that he's been bringing into the church, it's going to take some time to age within the church. But there are a lot of people that believe that God is no longer in the pouring business. They believe that he did it back in Pentecost, but sometime around the time the Bible was canonized, they believe that he stopped. Closed up shop. They've tasted the old wine of Christianity. And they believe that it doesn't get any better. They think this is the way that it's done. This is the best that it gets. You need to get with this. You need to get with the old wine. Anything new is suspect. And before they even taste it, they reject it on smell alone. And then there are others that taste the new wine. But then, because it hasn't aged yet, they find it disgusting, repulsive, and they spew it out. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to declare today that God is doing a new thing in the church. And it's going to be unlike anything we've seen in history. Anything we've seen in history. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, God is still in the pouring business. Contrary to popular belief, the way we've always done church, brothers and sisters, is not as good as it gets. The word of God says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. This means that the best is yet to come. There is a new wine that God is pouring out in the church. And although it may taste a bit offensive right now, once it ages, it's going to be the most potent and most powerful movement of the church that the church has ever seen before. God is doing a new thing. New outpouring. New manifestations. New revelations. New fruitfulness. New leadership. Why? Because he's bringing a new revival. And hallelujah, it's already springing up. Maybe it hasn't come across your path yet, but let me declare to you, it's already happening, folks. We are in the last days. That's news to you? Well, let me be CNN. Turn me on. You are living in the last days, brothers and sisters. And I say it's already springing up because recently through various podcasts, God's been opening up my eyes. He's been opening up my eyes to the new wine of revival that's happening all over the world. You know, this past week, as I was having my quiet time, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5 really struck out. It really stuck out to me. It struck me like a train. It says, Habakkuk 1:5 says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you will not believe, even if you were told. Look at the nations and watch and B, utterly amazed. You know what, brothers and sisters, that verse, that really struck me. You know, the Lord is telling us to open our eyes and see what he's doing in the nations. As I was looking through YouTube, you know, YouTube is phenomenal. It's blown up in the last year. YouTube was just like this small company nobody cared about, and now it's just blown up. And YouTube, through YouTube, revival that is happening all over India, South Africa, America, China, that we would before never been able to see, we can see right now by just doing a little search on YouTube. And people are posting videos. And I realized that for the first time in history, Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5, this prophecy can be properly fulfilled because of today's technology. This verse, it says, look at the nations and watch. Brothers and sisters, generations ago, they could not look at the nations and watch. All right? It'll take months for them to even get to China and to South Africa. All right? They can't look at the nations. They can hear about it. They can't look. But it's look at the nations. Watch. Consider what God is doing. The new thing God is doing and will do in his kingdom will be amazing. In fact, the word of God is saying here, it will be utterly amazing. I don't know about you. It takes a lot for me to be amazed. You know, God, I can say it to God. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. That's okay, because God's God. God's amazing. Yeah. Well, I better say that. He's God, right? Right, God's God. He's amazing. He is amazing. But for a lot of other things, you know, it takes a lot for me to be amazed. So I can't imagine what utterly amazed will be like. Woo! Think about that. He doesn't say you will be amazed. You will be utterly amazed. And in the Hebrew, it actually says toma, toma. It just says the same word, wondrously, wondrously, like amazed, amazed. It's going to be that amazing. Hallelujah. And let's get one thing straight. The new thing that God is going to do in these last days is not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be religious. It's not going to be convenient. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be offensive. It's going to be easily misunderstood. And I was reading this book by R.T. Kendall called The Anointing. And R.T. Kendall, if you guys know, he was the pastor. He was the minister of Westminster Chapel for over 20 years. You know, Westminster Chapel, it's in London, all right? And you would think, you know, Westminster Chapel, you know, this is where Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, you know, preached, ministered. And it'll be a proper place. But through R.T. Kendall, God brought an outpouring of God's Spirit into Westminster Chapel, of all places. And they experienced fantastic manifestations and healings. And there were charismatic leaders that made the trip to London and met with R.T. Kendall. And R.T. Kendall, he said, because he's coming from more of a conservative background, you know, he had not been used to all this charismatic stuff. And he makes an observation. He said that every new move of God is always going to be attached with it a stigma. Okay, a stigma is another word for something offensive. Every new move of God is going to have a stigma attached with it. Because the current generation is not going to like it. They're going to find it offensive. It's not what they're used to. And they may reject it altogether. The prophets of old, brothers and sisters, they were not embraced all the time. There was a stigma to what they were doing. Even Jesus, when he did his earthly ministry, people accused him of casting out devils by the power of the devil. There was a stigma that was attached to what he was doing. Even when the apostle Paul tried to take the gospel to the Gentiles, there was a stigma attached to what God, the new thing that God was doing there. And God had to send a vision to Peter to confirm that this is indeed what he was doing. He's sending out the gospel to the Gentiles. And in these last days, God is going to do utterly amazing things. And brothers and sisters, do not fool yourself. If you want to get with the new movement of God, with the new things that God is doing, it's going to have a stigma attached with it. People are going to misunderstand you. And they're going to criticize you. They're going to falsely accuse you. Say all kinds of evil against you. But it's not our job to try to convince them. We can only speak to them lovingly. Our job is just to continue to get with the new move that God is doing. Because brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. And in these last days, there are places that are very difficult to reach. Think of North Korea. I was just praising God earlier, and I just thought of North Korea, and my heart broke. The Holy Spirit just gave me a brokenness in my spirit. What a hard place to reach. Think about the Muslim nations. I was emailing somebody from Kazakhstan. That I've been to Kazakhstan many times before. Kazakhstan's even harder to reach. It's a nominally Muslim nation, Islam nation, and it's still hard to reach. There are hard places in the world that are left to reach. And it's going to take a powerful move of God, a new thing, in order to reach and break ground in those areas. God is doing a new thing in order to spread the gospel to the poor, to the oppressed, to the sick, and those hungering for righteousness in the most persecuted nations of the world. Hallelujah. And as we look at our original passage, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19, it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." It says, "Now it springs up." You might say, well, now meant now when Isaiah wrote it now. Okay? If you know how to properly handle the word of God, one thing you know about God's word, all right? But the word of God, I was reading in Habakkuk chapter 1, it says, "Write down the revelation because it is for an appointed time." The revelations of God that God gave Isaiah were not just for Isaiah's time, brothers and sisters. It was for an appointed time. And if I'm the only one that reads Isaiah 43 and it jumps out, then it's probably just on me. But as you're looking at that and it jumps out at you and you understand, you have peace about it. And when it says, "Now it springs up," and you realize, wow, this word now is talking about now. It's my time. It's my generation. It says, "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Does your campus, does your workplace, does your family or even your church, does it feel like a desert? Does your life feel like a desert right now? Well, let me give you some words of hope. Take heart, brothers and sisters, because God is doing a new thing. God is creative, and he'll make a way in the desert where there seems to be no way. There's an old song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And there's a bridge to that song. And I realized that bridge comes from Isaiah 43. When I see North Korea, I see a wasteland. You know what a wasteland is? It's a land that's just been wasted, stripped away of everything, stripped of freedom, stripped of justice, stripped of the gospel, stripped of crops, food, stripped of all laughter. Any given night, you will find you will not hear much laughter in North Korea. It's a wasteland. And when I look at the last 50 years, there seems to be no hope to reach that nation. But praise the Lord, because the word of God says streams of life are going to break forth. Streams in the wasteland. Streams of life are going to break forth in the wasteland. Hallelujah. Life, healing, provision, favor, power, and glory is going to spring up. And we need to declare Isaiah 45:8 over North Korea. Lord, let salvation and righteousness spring up from the ground. God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing in Korea. Hallelujah. Now is the time. Now it springs up. There's revival happening in this city right now. And it's going to spread to other cities in Korea. God is doing a new thing here. A new revival is on its way. 2007 is behind us. But hallelujah, because 2008 is here. Amen? Woo! And it will be a year unlike any year that we've seen before. You know, seven is a number symbolizing completion. Well, eight is a number symbolizing newness. Every 7 days, a week passes. On the eighth day, you get a new week. And God has completed a good work in 2007 here in this church. But hallelujah, because in 2008, He is going to do a new thing here. You are going to be utterly amazed. It's going to get more and more amazing. God is doing a new thing. I prophesy right now, JSCM will not be the same after 2008. And hallelujah, neither will you. The Bible says we are being transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to close my message by sharing with you a scene from the movie The Passion of the Christ. You know, I watched that movie. There's a lot of gore. There's a lot of gore. And I was watching that movie, and I was actually on the borders of North Korea when I was watching that movie. We were on a mission trip. And I was just watching it like a movie. And nothing about His suffering and crucifixion was really breaking my heart, because I've seen it before. You know, I've seen so many Jesus movies, right? But there's a scene where He's carrying the cross to Golgotha. And on the way, there's these women, and I believe His mother comes up to Him. They're crying, they're weeping. And Jesus, in this excruciating walk to the cross, He pauses. He looks at them, looks at His mother, and says, "Behold, I am making all things new. When I saw that scene in the movie, I broke. Realizing that all the new things that I get to enjoy and receive and look forward to are purchased by what He did on that cross. Jesus went through the cross not so that you can live an old life. He endured the cross to say, 'Behold, I am making all things new. I'm making all things new in your life. In the church, in the nations, behold, I'm doing a new thing.'" By the death and resurrection of our Lord, the old has gone and the new has come. I want you to close your eyes. Just listen. Get these words deep in your spirit. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Behold, I make all things new.